James chapter 4, and to God be the glory. We had a wonderful service here Sunday. I'm telling you, if that's what an example of a little taste of what God is going to do here, hallelujah. Shoot. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. Would you read it with me? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I want to talk about something that we need to always question ourselves and ask ourselves. Are you walking what you're talking? Are you walking what you're talking? Amen? And it's something that we always need to check ourselves and ask ourselves. Am I walking what I'm talking? And what he was talking about here is, you know, I mean, a lot of people walk around and say all kinds of stuff, but they really can't talk. I mean, they talk it, but they're really not walking what they're talking. In James chapter 1, in verse 21. Bible says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That sounds like somebody who's walking, not what they're talking. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a what? Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To what? Keep oneself unspotted from the world. See, one of the things about this is we've got to be able to receive. In other words, that means put into practice. Walk is a representation of putting things into practice. We can't be a forgetful individual where we've been counseled by the Lord. Amen? We can't be a forgetful individual that we're being counseled by the Lord by the Spirit of revelation or by the Word or by something that has happened in your life, by a circumstance. Something where you know that God has showed you, listen, man, you better sharpen up. You better quicken up because you are not walking what you're talking. Amen? You know, individuals that make many promises and can't fulfill any. Can you trust those individuals? No. Can God trust them? No. I'm telling you right now, it's very, very important that we come to that place where we are always asking ourselves and checking ourselves, am I actually walking what I am talking? Amen? We've got to bridle that tongue. Keep oneself from the world, so that you can walk your talk. If you can't keep yourself unspotted from the world, you cannot walk your talk. It's impossible. Go to Galatians 6. Oh, hallelujah. You know, one of the purposes that Jesus did was to expose the enemy, and the enemy is going to continue to be exposed in every area. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody there? Read it together. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Now, he didn't write large letters because they couldn't see. Hello? It's not because I have a large print Bible. That's different. Hallelujah. He was writing large letters in representation. Listen, I'm going to write you something that's going to affect you. In verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, you know, man, I got a lot of talk, but my walk stinks. No way am I going to do that, but I'm going to tell everybody else to. Hello? You know, individuals that love the counsel but can't walk their own counsel. Verse 13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. Oh, hallelujah. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but what? A new creation. Do you understand that? Nothing matters but walking as a new creation. That's what matters, doesn't it? And of course, without your fellowship with the Lord, you're not going to get that conviction. Your heart will become hardened, and you will not be able to receive the conviction and the counsel of the Lord until we finally receive counsel from the world. In other words, we get busted, we end up in jail, we get a ticket, we lose this, we lose that, whatever. Something dramatic happens in our life. Listen, if we've been in a cycle of going in and out of jail, hello. Amen? If we're in a cycle of going back and using drugs and all this stuff, if you're in that cycle, obviously there's something you're not doing right. You know, I go to jail and minister a lot, and you know, everybody wants to come up and tell you how you ought to preach and what you should do. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. Well, let me show you how what you really need to preach here. You know, I had a guy, his name was Guy, and he'd been through seminary school and, you know, and all that stuff, seminary school, and he'd been an instructor for 13 years, and he came up to me after a service one time. He says, you know, I see the zealous you have for the Lord. I said, well, praise be to God. He says, but you know. I said, what do you mean, but you know? He could not understand the things of the Spirit. He says, you know, what you're preaching is incorrect. I said, brother, you're religious, I told him. He couldn't understand it. Every time I come in there, he'd come against me. I said, listen, let's look at one special thing, very important. Where are you? And where am I? Hello. You know, and that was it. But, you know, every time he tried to come, he would not participate in the worship. You know, these religious people just think they can't worship. You know, they're so bound by the letter, and the Bible says that the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. You know, but people even who worship the Lord can fall into religiosity. And you have to be very careful. Because that Spirit will come right there, and he'll try to convince you that you're okay. He'll try to convince you that you haven't used, you haven't done this. Listen, when you start hearing that voice that of the things that you haven't done, that demon is there. Let me tell you something. Because what he's done is he's turned you to you and what you haven't done. Has everybody got it? What you haven't done. See, he begins to convince you of what you haven't done. Let me tell you something. You will not be able to walk your talk. It's impossible. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. They love to make a showing in the flesh. The only thing that matters right now for me and you is a new creation, walking in the presence of God. And that's what the world needs to see, is a brand new creation in us, always. Amen? Go to Romans 6. Yeah, this guy, every time after service, he wanted to pull me aside and have a discussion. I kept telling him, man, don't you get it? You can't counsel a demon. He couldn't get it. He could not understand. I mean, here's a guy that's been 13 years. He was boasting about how long he'd been ministering and whatever. Hallelujah. He could not get the things of the Spirit. I kept telling him, brother, you're carnal. I know you know the page numbers. I know you know the letter. But you do not know the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Hallelujah. So anyways, he couldn't handle it. Because it had demons. In Romans 6, and starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? The newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. I love that scripture. For he who has what? Oh, hallelujah. For he who has died to self has been freed from sin. Must have understanding of being united into his death. We must have an understanding. We walk in that arena. If you can't understand the in-depthness of being united to him in death, in his death and resurrection, you cannot not walk in that new creation, that newness. Because see, he paid the price for us. We died with him. You know, so many people are still trying to die without him. There's a difference. You must die with him, not without him. If you can't die with him, you're still alive. Does everybody got it? You must die with him, not without him. You know, people fast. Let me give you an example. People fast. The first thought that comes to them, well, you know, I could use a little, lose a little weight. So I think I'll fast. Well, Lord, I'm going to proclaim a fast for you today. That's not dying with him. Hello. Does everybody understand that? You know, when we begin to, you know, the Bible says God's not interested in your sacrifices. He's interested in your obedience. When we begin to proclaim our own sacrifices for Jesus, you're not dying with him. You're not united in his death. Has everybody got it? Then people wonder why. Well, Lord, I fasted for 21 days. He said you fasted for yourself. You didn't do it for me. But Lord, I needed a prayer answer. Right, you did it for you. Fasting does not bring prayers answered. Fasting allows you to cooperate with his death. Does everybody understand that? Fasting allows you to cooperate. You become united with his death. Fasting actually separates you from the world. That's the whole purpose of it. It's not just fasting food. People think that just fasting food is everything. No, fasting food, because so many people are garbage, they need to fast some food. Because certain foods will clog your thoughts or clog your mind and stuff. There isn't clarity. We fast to get clarity. Amen? So we can hear God. That's the whole purpose of fasting. If you're fasting to move the hand of God, you're fasting for the wrong reason. You're fasting for yourself. Listen. Fasting is just not about food. It's about coming out from the world. That's what fasting is. Remember, you can read in the book of Isaiah where Jesus rebuked him. He says, you do the fast for yourself. Is this a fast that I've ordered? He said, no. He says, here's a fast for you. So you stop going just to work and cashing your check and filling your groceries and everything else and buying this and doing that and whatever. He says, let me tell you something. Here's the fast that I ordered. Go feed the poor. Go help the widows. In other words, die with me and deny yourself. Amen? Does everybody understand that there's a difference? There's a difference. So unless you die with Him, if you are not united in His death, you're not walking in a newness of life. Does everybody get it? It's got to be with Him. Everything must be with Him. It says that when we've come to the Lord, our spirit is with the Lord, isn't it? We're united with Him. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We must understand to be united with His death and in His death. Go to James 3. Are you walking what you be talking? Hallelujah. James chapter 3. Verse 6. We all love this one. And a tongue is a fire of a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. But every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by what? Good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. It is demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. The boasting of talk, the boasting of the tongue, is demonic. And it acts certainly like it, doesn't it? Amen? It is demonic. So we must be very careful and begin in the arena of checking ourselves, asking yourself, am I actually walking what I'm talking? Am I actually an example? Am I the example? Are we the examples for where we're working? Are we a different person when we're gathered together in church and Bible studies, or compared to when we're at work and out in the world? Do we act different? Let me tell you, if you act different in certain places, then you are not walking what you're talking. And God knows it, and so do mostly everybody else. Hallelujah. Oh, this boasting, it's demonic, it's wisdom from beneath. It knows it all, tells others how to walk, but can't walk it itself. A know-it-all. Did you ever get around somebody that says, yes, 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 yes? Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. And you know that they don't mean it. Yes, men and women. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. I agree. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, praise God. All right, let's do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. They leave the office and they just left everything in there. Didn't take it to heart. Didn't meditate on it. Didn't do anything. Hello. 1 Corinthians 9. Glory to God. Everybody's going to ask themselves, am I walking what I'm talking? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Sometimes you're going to have to tell yourself, man, how stupid can I be and still breathe? Then cast off that deaf and dumb spirit. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Would you read it with me? Hallelujah. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. That's a yes man. But I what? Discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become what? Woo. Unless I become what? Disqualified. Hallelujah. Don't become disqualified. That means you must walk what you talk. Go to Titus chapter 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. In verse 10. Is everybody there? Titus chapter 1. To God be the glory. Don't be offended tonight now, okay? It's just light is exposing darkness. Read it together. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision whose mouths must be what? Stop. These are religious boneheads, man. Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. You know what the dishonest gain here is? Self-promotion. Self-exaltation. You know? Yeah, man, I've been a believer for 45 years. Let's go get a drink. Oh, really? Did you see that woman? Did you see that? Whoa. I can't wait till I get a lot of money and do this. You've been a believer 45 years, huh? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them what comes out of their mouth. You know, they'll be talking this big talk, but they won't have that walk. You'll know. You'll know whether there's the meekness there, the gentleness there. You'll know whether there's the love of Christ there. You'll know whether one of the first signs is denial of self. If they give themselves glory for everything that's done. I'll tell you the word I'm always looking for, to God be the glory. Amen? To God be the glory. People, you know, they get caught up in their own strengths, their own knowledge and their own talents and everything else. And they have a great talk, but they cannot walk. In verse 12, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are what? Defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they what? Deny Him. Do you understand that? Those are people that are not walking according to their talking. They profess to know God, but they deny Him in their conduct and how they walk. Being abominable, disobedient, and what? Disqualified for every good work. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, to God be the glory, it is certainly a good night to die. First Corinthians chapter 10. God. Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are what? Helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things what? Edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That doesn't mean you go around and counsel everybody. Everybody understand that? That means you don't go around telling everybody they're exposed their dirty laundry. That means you're looking for other well-being. Amen? You're trying to help. You're looking for the best interest in their life. As you look for someone else's best interest for their life, God looks in the best interest for your life. Amen? As you comfort someone or whatever, simple word with individuals is, listen, man, God opens a door that's of Him and shuts a door that's not of Him. It's a real simple thing. So when somebody gets upset or frustrated because something's not going their way, amen. You know, when you express to someone, listen, just roll it to the Lord. He knows He's got the last say and He knows best. You know, it's just, and the most of the time, people are just trying to go ahead of God or do it in their own strength. Amen? And they can't. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Where are we? Oh, hallelujah. 25. Glory to God. Okay, let's not go any further. Thank you. Are your words edifying? Are they well-being to others? You got to look at that. My words edifying, are they helping others? Go to Romans 2. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2 and starting at verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable. I didn't say that, the Bible said that, okay? Therefore, you are what? Inexcusable, O man or woman, whoever you are who judge, from whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let me tell you how it ought to be done. Well, yeah, I'm still doing it, but let me tell you how it ought to be done. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. See, if you begin to sense yourself walking not according to your talking, you mean you must stop and repent. It's real simple. Just stop. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are what? Self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Glory to God. Judging others, but you yourself practice it. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. While we're there. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Are you walking what you be talking? 2 Corinthians 10:11. Would you read it with me? Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Hello. We, however, will not boast beyond measure. Boast beyond measure. But within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes who? You. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labor, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Amen? Glory in the Lord, not in your words or in your works. 2 Timothy 2. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. In verse 14. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. Hallelujah. Remind them of these things, charge them before the Lord, not to what? Strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. You know, when somebody messes up and, you know, they get caught or they, you know, they stumble and everybody sees what's happening and then they begin to make excuses. They begin to babble about certain things. Well, you know, you understand. You know, all of these words that come forth, everything to, like, shelter or cover up actually the real truth, which the problem is disobedient. Not walking what they're talking. Amen? Verse 17. Read it with me. And their message will spread like what? Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the true saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal that the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now let me, you know, we had this guy that came into the discipleship house one time. He was a sweet guy. And everything was, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, he did this all the time. Well, that's cool. The problem is this is hallelujah and praising the Lord was not according to his conduct. Hello. You know, and you could sense the boasting. It wasn't boasting itself. You know, you can read in the scripture, it talks about that familiar spirit that goes, what was going before Paul and those regions, going, oh, the men of God are here, and this and that, and they've come to proclaim. And this was a familiar spirit. This woman was practicing divination. And it went on for 3 days. Paul finally had enough and turned around and cast the devil out of that girl. And she couldn't perform any more stuff for her laborers, and they got upset, and then they ended up casting Paul and a few other guys in prison. But that's all they did was boast through the mouth, but their conduct was not according to their boasting. I'm telling you, we had this brother in the discipleship out. That's all he did was he praised the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he was one that couldn't shut up. In other words, he didn't have dominion over his tongue. If somebody doesn't have dominion over your tongue, you can be for sure that they are not going to be able to walk what they talk. Because see, you must have dominion over your tongue. You've got to be able to shut up when God said shut up. You got to be able to be quiet when it's time to be quiet. Remember, God doesn't interrupt himself. Amen. Most people can't hear God anyways. They're too busy talking. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Are we done here? Praise God. Oh, we didn't start, did we? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first five verses. And you read it with me. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without what? Self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from some people turn away. That is called religion. Plain, purified, adulterated religion warns in the last day that these spirits will come out and have in a form of godliness or be with religion, with words, but can't walk. These are believers taken by captive. Most of them are backslidden believers. They've been taken in captivity. Remember, you go into two sets of captivity. When you are disobedient to God, the first captivity that happens is in your mind. You become captive to the enemy. The second captivity is usually the individual gets captive. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Are you walking with you talking? And verse 16. Now God calls an individual who is not walking what he's talking wicked. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Psalm 50 and verse 16. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? Ooh. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to what? Evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. In other words, that God was cooperating with you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Ooh. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Wow. Wow. Are you walking what you're talking? He warns us not to walk, those who are not walking what they're talking. It is sin and wickedness. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Hallelujah. I would say God takes that quite serious, don't you? Yeah. Problem is, you know, so many people think that, well, you know, God's with me. God's with me so I can do this. God's with me. We want God before us. Amen? There's a difference. Hallelujah. In 2 Ephesians chapter 2, I mean, Ephesians, hallelujah, must be a new book coming. We already started 2 Acts, right? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For what works? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We already walked according to the world of lies, because this is what was walking according to the world. Lies, boasting, self-exaltation, deceptions, fears, and arrogance, and pride. Those are things of the world, aren't they? Arrogance, pride, fear, deception, boasting, lies. Go to Philippians 3. We're not to walk according to that, because the thing, most important thing, is that we walk as a new creation. So we must be walk. We must walk according to our talk. Philippians 3. You know, that's a good saying too, to say someone when you know they're out of line. Man, are you walking according to your talking? It's real simple. Are you really walking or what you're talking? You need to check yourself. Are you walking what you're talking? It's real simple. Philippians 3 and verse 17. Read it with me, please. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that you are the enemies of the cross. Of who? Christ. That you're the enemies of the cross of Christ. See, if you're not walking according to your talking, you're an enemy of Christ. Why? Because the devil is using you. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their what? Which means gluttony. And whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind and their desires and their flesh and their lust and their hunger on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that is, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even do to subdue all things to himself. Walk to the example of the upright, not in gluttony or in the sinful nature of carnality, but with self-control and endurance. Everyone say self-control and endurance. Amen. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Thank you, Lord. In verse 15. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
In verse 15, would you read it with me, please? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Say it again, please. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, out of the mouth speaks the heart. Amen. Lying lips are those that talk but can't walk their talk. Everything to them they see and hear, they believe is from God. But they are fools because their counsel comes from the dictates of selfish desires in their own heart. They speak and cause a stumbling block to others and not even know it. Is everybody with me? Go to 2 Corinthians 4. You must be careful that you're not promoting your heart's desires of selfish ambitions. You must promote the heart of Christ. Amen? Because if you're going to begin to promote your own selfish heart's desires, walk what you talk. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. You know, just for an example, even people who get jobs or have experiences in certain things, if you begin to boast about yourself, the best thing to do is to be totally honest. People exaggerate and lie to get a job, thinking that, well, then they use, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, if God hasn't sent you, you won't have the strength to do it. Has everybody got it? You know, do you ever run into someone and they say, yeah, man, I can do this and I can do that and whatever, and then they, yeah, I can do this on the car, I can do that. And, man, I had a guy tell me, yeah, I can do the front end on this and do all this. Man, I'll tighten that front end up. Man, it would be beautiful. I said, praise God. You sure you want it? Yeah, no problem, I can do this. Well, he tightened the front end up. The only thing he tightened was my steering gearbox, and the rest of the front end was still swaying all over the city. The thing was dangerous. I wouldn't even let my wife drive it. And this is the guy that was boasting. He'd been through mechanic school. He knew every name of every tool. He did it all, let me tell you. He put the shocks on correctly, but he could not walk what he talked. That showed me right then and there that that man was out in left field. He was on his way to the bandstands and he needed to get brought in. You know what? He didn't last but a few more weeks. He was gone. Why? Because he couldn't take counsel. That spirit of pride kept that individual from humbling himself and being honest. I can do this, but I really don't know how to do that. That's all it takes. Being honest. The number one thing, if you cannot be honest with yourself, you won't be honest with others. Does everybody understand? I'm telling you, that is the number one most... If you can't be honest, if every decision that you're going to make, if you can't be honest in why you're making that decision with yourself, if you begin to justify your decision, if you're looking for an excuse for that decision, that is deception. That is a lie from hell. You are associating either with a familiar spirit or a deceiving, seducing spirit. If you cannot be honest what you speak, if you exaggerate or manipulate, that means you are unfaithful. God will not trust you. And neither will man. And He'll quicken you. Let me tell you, if you have a relationship with the Lord, He'll quicken you. That's why we must earn the trust of God. But if you can't earn the trust of man, you'll never earn the trust of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I had to get up and move around a little bit. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. Is everybody okay? What? We didn't do that yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Man, I better be able to walk my talk. Forgive me. I repent. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there yet? Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in what? Craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled or the truth is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Do you understand something? Look at this. Whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded. Who did not believe, lest the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let me tell you something. The devil begins to blind us. He begins to blind us. And let me tell you, if you're someone that cannot walk according to his talk, that means you are perishing. You're decaying. Amen? Psalm 120. I knew we could get there. Glory to God. Psalm 120. First three verses. Is everybody there? In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. He said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from what? Lying lips. Man, I can't help. I'm a liar. But you know what? He was honest. And from what? A deceitful tongue, exaggerated, manipulative. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you what? False tongue? Sharp arrows of a warrior with coals of broom tree. Okay. He calls it a what? False tongue is a deceptive. And it is the mind taken to captivity. Does everybody understand that? Your tongue is what's going to determine your heart. Your heart is the character of your spirit. Everybody got it? So what's coming out of your mouth? If you find yourself, listen, that's what I'm saying. You must be honest with yourself all the time. And you must be quick to repent when you're not, when you're exaggerating, when you're saying you can do something and you can't. When you're saying you're somebody, when you're not. We get that all the time. Look, that's called competition. We're not to be in spiritual competition with one another. That's wisdom from hell. We are not in spiritual competition with anyone. Nor ministry, no one. Nor denomination, we are not in spiritual competition with no one. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there is no competition. There's death. Amen? There's death. God sends each fellowship and ministry to a purpose that he wants them. I may not agree with some of them. I may not agree with some of the teachings, but I'm not in competition with them. Does everybody understand that? But I will judge by the fruit. You can tell whether the world is being promoted or demoted. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 39. You know, one of the things is so many people believe that all their beliefs is what God believes. You're going to find that some of the things that you believe are not what God cooperates with. I'm talking whether you may believe that something is wrong. God is using something. Does everybody understand that? Look, the more you are sanctified and separated from the world, the more you are closer to God. Amen? That's bottom line. That's where fasting comes from, isn't it? That's why he had the Jews fast 3 times a year. In their feast, there was a week fast 3 times a year. He called leaven evil. Separate them from the things of the world. You know, so many times, even with the fasting, it is so important that we lay down things that we think are of God. And sometimes the things that are not of God. But you're not going to know that unless you truly have that relationship with the Lord where He's going to bring it to you. Or you're in a place where the Spirit of God is moving where you'll get convicted. Or you'll be approached. Amen? In other words, there are certain standards, there are certain ethics. I know that what God has established in this ministry, there'll be nobody in this staff at all who drinks or parties. Hello? I believe these are ethics from the throne room of God. Representation of witnesses of Christ. Drinking or drugging. I won't allow anyone in the staff to smoke. I think it's ungodly. It does not show the character of Christ. Why? Because even though that there's the council of the Lord in the throne room, the staff of God's ministries, which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is also accountable. We are to express what we're being impressed with, aren't we? Amen. So there should be no drinking or smoking or fornication or anything. It should be pure. Totally pure. Not that we're perfect, but pure. Amen? He said, be holy because I am holy. I would not support or associate with organizations that promote it. It's not God. Does everybody understand that? Amen. It's not God. You know, even during communion now, most of them have taken the wine out, you know, because they don't want to be a stumbling block. You know, people have fallen going into a church and had communion that was just trying to kick alcohol. Next thing you know, bam. Because in true reality, that's not what they were communioning with. It's what you and I call grape juice. Not fermented. It was fresh and brand new. Squeezed. Not concentrated. Or pasteurized. Amen. It was squeezed right that in there and drank. It was not fermented. Hallelujah. Psalm 39. In first six verses, would you read it with me? I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Now there was a man that was going to God. He was realizing he was struggling. And he did not want to do what he was doing. He said, man, I'm frail. Lord, I can't do without you. Please put a knot in my tongue. Tie a bow in it. Don't pierce it. Hello. Don't pierce it. Just put a guard over my mouth. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my ages as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but what? Vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. Go to Proverbs 15. Like I said, I really believe God is taking this very seriously. And He's, you know, the Bible says that judgment comes in the house of God first before it comes to the world. So, you know, everybody's waiting for judgment to come to the world. Well, let me tell you something. You're in judgment now. Proverbs 15, first 4 verses. Would you read it with me? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Go to verse 14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Ooh, hallelujah. Go to Colossians 3. To God be the glory. Colossians chapter 3. Starting at verse 5. Would you read it with me? Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now listen, I want to share 7 quick little things here. The number one reason, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. I guess reason or cause. I should say cause. Ephesians chapter 4. I believe that there's a 4 or 7 causes or 7 reasons why people walk into their, or they can't walk what they talk. Open doors. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, therefore, putting away what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the what? See, he just talked about lying, right, and being angry. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. One of the causes for this area where people begin, who can't walk according to their talk, is a place where there's been an open door to the devil. The Bible says, make no place to the enemy. What that does, when you make a place to the enemy, it means you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? You cannot make a place to the enemy, an open door to the enemy, without grieving the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit, you open the door to the enemy. And he talks about all of these things, about wrath and anger and so forth. He says, nor give place to the devil. The number one reason is people give place to the devil. Once you've given place to the devil, you cannot walk your talk. It's impossible. Does everybody understand it? You just can't. It can be opened by many areas. Anger, so forth. How is it open? I really believe the number one way it's open is by fear. Fear opens a door. Fear. Fear of not walking up to your expectations. You know, people fear. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of defeat. Fear somebody will find out. Fear of being exposed. Fear. Does everybody understand that? Fear. People are afraid, fear of past. Fear of running into somebody. Fears. An area where there's an open door quickly. Fear of not getting what you want. Fear. Fear of missing something. You know, people go out and they're looking for a car or they're looking for something or they're looking for a husband or looking for a wife. Something comes across. Oh! You know what they are? They're afraid. They become fearful of not having what they want. They become fearful of missing God when it's not God from the beginning. Does everybody understand that? They become fearful. Didn't they end up getting married and so forth or whatever, buying that vehicle or doing this, and they have troubles later. Does everybody understand that? Fear. The third thing is pride. Pride. Pride is the protector of self. Pride is associated with arrogance. Overconfident in your own abilities is a pride. Pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end, right? The fourth thing is offense. People who get offended very easily. They believe they deserve more. They put themselves above others, and it causes offense. Do you understand that? Some people who get offended very easily also are individuals that have low self-esteem. They get offended very easily. In the area of, they have a hard time receiving counsel also, because there's that spirit of rejection always hindering them. Very, very easy to become offended. Of course, that pride is that killer, isn't it? But offense. Offense is associated with individuals that believe they deserve more. Does everybody understand that? I'm worth more. I'm better than them. Offense is also to somebody who is wants and doesn't get what they want. They get offended. I call it the baby Huey syndrome. They grumble and complain because they don't get what they want. But I want it, and I want it now. Goo goo gaga. They become offended. The fifth thing is manipulation. These are all areas that cause individuals to not be able to walk according to their talk. Manipulation caused by selfish desires. Selfish. You know, the sixth thing is bitterness. Bitterness is a response to unforgiveness. Bitterness is a response to unforgiveness. Somebody is bitter because they haven't forgiven. If they haven't forgiven somebody, bitterness begins to build up in them. Amen? So we've got the number one is grieving the spirit. In other words, we open the door to the enemy. Number two is fear. Number three is pride. Number four is offense. Number five is manipulation. Number six is bitterness. And number seven is lust. Lust. I'm going to go to James 4 and close here. Now, an individual that cannot walk what he talks It's called double-minded. Amen? It's double-minded. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You make excuses. You manipulate. Hello? Everybody got it? You boast of oneself. You promote yourself. You exalt yourself. But you can't walk what you talk. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Now that goes to what we talked about being separated from the world, right? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. Amen? He will lift you up. So it's time to really begin to exercise, discern, judge yourself, test yourself. Are you truly walking what you're talking? And if you find yourself not walking according to your talking, slipping away, you need to stop, go to the Lord and repent and shut the door to the enemy. And every time you find yourself doing that, there is an open door, isn't there? That's how it starts. There's an open door somewhere. There's something maybe you've not let go of yet. Something God is still dealing with you. Something of your past. It's an area where you're not trusting God. So you're relying on your own self and strength. Amen? We cannot walk our talk in our own strength. We must be united with Him in death. Has everybody got it? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we repent for any area of our life that we've walked or talked or even made vows. You know, many people make vows. I'm going to make promises and they can't even fulfill the promises. That's not walking according to their talking. And they bring self-imposed curses upon themselves. So Lord, every area in our life where we said we were going to do something, where we did not walk according to the talk and brought a self-imposed curse on us, we repent, we renounce it, and break that curse from us right now in the name of Jesus. And we command every associated spirit with those curses to leave us and never to return. As we give to you our hearts, we ask that you'll purify it, Lord. That you'll continue to melt us, mold us, and use us for your glory. And put a hedge of protection around that seed that's imparted. Quicken us, Holy Spirit, that we will walk according to our talk and bring you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.